This talk is given by Vanessa Zuise Goddard, a writer and lay teacher based in Panama City, Panama. Zuise is also the guiding teacher of the Ocean Mind Sangha, a virtual community of Zen practitioners. And this talk, like all of her talks, is offered freely. If you'd like to offer a donation to support Zuise's work, listen to other talks, or find out more about the Ocean Mind Sangha, please visit us at oceanmindsangha.org. Thanks for listening.
Good evening. Tonight, instead of our usual Dharma talk or study, we're doing a Fusatsu or renewal of vows ceremony. Fusatsu is the Japanese transliteration of Uposatha, a day of observance which, during the time of the Buddha, was celebrated on the days of the new and full moons, so roughly every 15 days. And it was an opportunity for the monks to gather and recite the Pratimoksha, the set of monastic rules, and also to acknowledge and atone for their unskillful actions. For us, Fusatsu offers the opportunity to reaffirm our vows, to reestablish our direction, which is always a good thing to do periodically in our lives. And right now, a good thing to do for us as we get ready to launch our Spring Ongo next week. As I was preparing a few words to offer for tonight's talk, I thought of another classical Buddhist chant, which, although it's not explicitly included in the Fusatsu liturgy, it nevertheless undergirds the practice of atonement and renewal. And so the chant says, Buddham Sharanam Gacchami, Dhammam Sharanam Gacchami, Sangham Sharanam Gacchami. I take refuge in the Buddha. I take refuge in the Dharma. I take refuge in the Sangha. This is the expression, the formula, the Buddhist formula for taking refuge in the three treasures or the three jewels. In our Jukai, or precept ceremony, in which taking refuge is a very important part, we say kie, which means to unreservedly throw ourselves into, to turn toward, to rely upon these three treasures. First is our original teacher, Shakyamuni Buddha. And so we're really vowing to live as the Buddha did, wakefully, within our own lives, however those lives look from the outside. So it's less about leaving home physically, although that's a helpful and actually very nice thing to do if you're inclined that way. But it's less about that and more about leaving samsara behind, about choosing to live not in accord with ignorance, but aligned with wisdom. And so it's also taking refuge in our own awakened nature, our Buddha nature, which is the capacity for and the expression of that awakened life. Present since the beginningless beginning, unconditional and all-pervasive, not dependent on causes and conditions, not affected by our human folly or intelligence. Buddha nature is not marred by our actions, is not diminished by our actions. Neither does it increase. It simply is. Unconditionally and all pervasively. Second is the Dharma or Dhamma, the truth of the way things are, the law that describes the workings of the universe. And that is free of the I, me, mind making, so entrenched in the self-referential mind. Third is the Sangha, the community of noble friends, Kalyana Mitra, who are traveling with us on this path of awakening. All those who have wondered are wondering whether there is a saner, more loving way to live, and who are hard at work trying to follow that way, that path. Just like this humble assembly. Now, taking refuge is very interesting in Buddhism because it is, in a way, the opposite of what we think of when we think of taking refuge. When we hear the word refuge, we might think of a kind of cave, right? A place that is protected from the elements, from anything that might harm us and might threaten us. And so in our minds, we might see a sheltered place, and it's away from the hustle and bustle, the incessant struggle that seems just baked into our lives. But taking refuge in the three treasures is, in effect, a stepping out. It's a stepping out into the world with all its many challenges, with all its many relationships, some of them very difficult, right? Some of them with people we might not agree with or even like. So to take refuge in the three treasures means to let ourselves be fully exposed, fully open, and trusting of the ground we're walking on. So as we travel on the path, we trust that the ground we're walking on is stable, that it will hold us. And so what is that ground made of? Well, it is the three treasures. And it is also generosity, compassion, wisdom. The three virtues that are the embodiment and the expression of that refuge taking and of an awakened life. And so this is the type of ground that when we fall, we also use it to rise. There's a koan that says exactly this. No one falls on the ground who doesn't use that ground to rise. But that's the challenge, as well as its power. The ground we rise from is the same ground upon which we fall. And so how is that? We fall through our greed, our anger, our ignorance. Through actions that are harmful in obvious ways and harmful in subtle ways. Through all the evil karma committed by me since of old, through my body, mouth, and thought, my actions, my words, my thoughts. And so that's when walking feels like it's happening on ice, on quicksand. Not just because our harmful actions cause harm, obviously, they do, but more deeply, you could say that what's underneath that ground is that it's not stable because it does not conform to the law. It does not align with the way things are. In one of the sutras, the Buddha said that greed is a maker of measurement. Pamana Karana. Pamana is measurement. Karana, Karana is making or action. He said, greed is a maker of measurement. Anger is a maker of measurement. Ignorance or delusion is a maker of measurement. And so that is essentially the I behind those three poisons. The actor, the agent that says, I want, I hate, I am. And it is that same I that pits things or people against one another and declares, this is good, this is bad. This I want, this I don't want, I reject. Whether the this is a thing, a person, a group of people, a nation, or any part of what I consider myself. And we hold parts of us up, we push other parts down. We hold people, races up, we push others down. And the moment we measure anything, having and lacking, winning and losing, succeeding and failing, come into being in that very same instant. And with them, a whole lot of suffering. And so in one sense, our Zazen is the ultimate antidote to Pamana Karana. Because it's the unmaker of measurement. We sit down, we cross our legs, we lower our eyes, and for a little while at least, we don't measure anything. At first, we just practice not measuring, or we practice letting go of measuring once it's arisen. But eventually, we see that in fact, there is nothing to be measured and no one doing the measuring. You understand? Things aren't good or bad. People aren't good or bad. That's a designation we've given them in our minds. In reality, things are nothing at all. They are not things. They are empty, shunya. That's why we can be fully exposed when we take refuge. We finally understand there is nothing to hide, no one to protect, nothing to improve, no one to be or to prove themselves. Ultimately, in the conventional world, in the world where greed, anger, and ignorance still operate, all sorts of people and beings need protection. And if we can offer it in any way, we certainly should. But in the realm of ultimate reality, there is nothing to possess, nothing to let go of, nothing to hold up, nothing to put down, no one to fall, no one to fail. Please see this for yourselves. There is no one who falls, no one who fails. So you can put that burden down. It'll make your walking on the path so much lighter, joyfuler. Mm-hmm. That should be a word, shouldn't it? We need it. So we sit serenely and at ease, as Hongzhi says, not to escape the world, not to hide from it, but to be able to turn to it completely. We practice unmaking our measurements so that we can be free to do the work that actually frees us. And not just us, but everyone we encounter. Someone said to me recently, You know, when you come from your truth, people respond to you. Yes. When we come from a place of clarity, a place of wisdom, a place of understanding, then our expression, our living, is consistent with that understanding. And it shows. People notice. The Buddha said, when a person who practices giving goes to an assembly, people take notice. So too, when a person practices compassion, practices wisdom, practices patience and clarity and courage, determination. I say that clarity is compelling. It's compelling when we see someone who knows the ground they're standing on, who doesn't apologize, doesn't hedge, doesn't make excuses for themselves. They're just fully there. That's compelling and inspiring. In a moment, we're about to chant, with all sentient beings, raise the Bodhi mind, let the supreme way be realized. With all sentient beings, penetrate all sutras, understand all sutras, realize all sutras, let wisdom be like the ocean. With all sentient beings, lead the people, let harmony pervade everywhere. Notice the beginning of that invocation. With all sentient beings. This is how it is, you see. When we stop measuring, this is what we see. Everything we do with all beings. Everything we do for all beings. It can't be otherwise. Why? Because we are all beings. That's what Namu means, being one with. And so in fact, we could remove that with in the beginning. It's extra. All sentient beings raise the Bodhi mind, penetrate the sutras, and lead the people. And all beings do this all the time. But once we cop on to that fact, we're able to do it so much better and joyfuler. And so remember, that maker of measurement, empty. The thing they're measuring, empty. In other words, what maker? What measurement? What did you say? What?
For more talks, to get more information about Zuise's teaching, or to join her email list, visit us at oceanmindsangha.org.